It's Wednesday night, May 27th.
That's right.
Yay, 1 in 5. Check my calendar.
Yes, Lord, by your Spirit, that you might move among us.
Yes.
Move among us by your Spirit, Lord, that we would, that you would grant us an ear, recognize the truth, O Lord, recognize it and be able to speak it, recognize it when we hear it, and likewise, if it's off base, if it's not what you are, Lord, that thing would just be chaff in the wind.
Yes.
Blow that thing away, Lord. The stuff that is man's thinking up stuff rather than operating, drawing from the truth of your Spirit. Oh, that good work would occur, that we would know the difference, and that we would call it out when we hear it. Oh, let that good prophetic process occur here by your Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes. There are a lot of different gifts in the Spirit. And one of the, a major one that I don't know that it's exercised a lot, is called discernment. And discerning the Spirit. You know, John said, beloved, don't believe every spirit. But try the spirits to see whether they're from God or not. And the discerning of spirits really is to tell whether it's a spirit from God or not. That's what discernment is. And the method that he uses in 1 John 4 is, you got to be one of the strangest things ever. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is from God. That's a discerning of spirits. Every spirit that does not confess that he came in the flesh is not from God. And that's the spirit of the Antichrist. So there we have God's spirit, we have the devil's spirit. And the way to tell which is which is by not conviction, but the emphasis that is put upon the nature of Christ. Is he a man? Is he a God? If he's not a man, what is he? Every spirit that confesses that he came in the flesh, which makes him a man, is from God. Every spirit that does not confess he came in the flesh, if he didn't come in the flesh, how else did he come? He would have had to come in the Spirit, wouldn't he? If he would have come in the Spirit, now we got the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You can't have him coming in the Spirit and be coming in the flesh and being eternally Spirit.
No.
See, that's a real obvious falsehood. It's obvious. And but it's strange. Don't believe every spirit. Try the spirits. You know, that's discernment. Discern the spirits. To see if it's from God or not. So then he gives you a major way to tell the difference.
Yeah.
That's major.
Mm-hmm. A way to test.
Huh?
A way to test.
Yeah.
A way to test.
Every spirit that confesses that he came in the flesh is from God. And I'd like to say that this is a major, major, major place of discernment. And every spirit that does not confess he came in the flesh, and it's like, and we say, well, people say, a lot of the Trinitarians say, well, he came in the flesh, but then he became spirit. The problem is, we don't have nothing that says that. That's a theory somewhere.
Well, and I think there's not a lot that's said, but after the ascension and after he comes into the upper room and walks through the door and says, the flesh and bone, I mean, the scriptures go way out of a way to reinforce
exactly
that he is flesh and bone after his resurrection.
Yeah.
Which I think is to that point.
And because we're referring to 1 John, right in verse 3 of the first chapter, it says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and with Holy..." No, there is no other.
No. Just other, yeah.
It ends right there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, right at that, I mean, that's just before he gets into all this about discerning spirits, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. There are a lot of meetings and a lot of fellowships and a lot of places where people are getting together and talking about the Lord and about the things of the Spirit. There ain't very many of them that are like the conversation that's going on right now.
No.
Yeah, we had a Ken Sunday night. We kind of had a Charlie had a little what I thought was a kind of a revelation where help me if I don't get this right, Charlie, but you know, we tend to think there's this trial we explain God the miracles that Jesus did. And we kind of said, well, you know, Jesus wasn't doing miracles. You know, God was giving him the power, and you know, and Charlie said, you know, I think the word was, it was actually the Holy Spirit of, you know, from God that was actually doing the miracle. You know, which I thought was a really clean way to be looking at that, because Jesus is not, you know, Jesus is not. It's just what came from the Father, and it seemed like Jesus always prayed before something happened, before the power of God, you know, came forth. Like, did I get that right? Or?
Well, the context of it was, but you know, Jesus said, "Go ahead and blaspheme me or man." That doesn't make any. But you blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's where you. I was going to ask you kind of where you were getting that.
And it was a situation where Jesus cast out demons, and they said, "Well, you do it by the power of Beelzebub, you know." And Jesus said, "Well, kingdom divided, you know." And then he goes on to say, "You can't blaspheme a man. That's no big. But when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, now that's serious. Mm-hmm. And you are denying that it was the Holy Spirit that was operating here, you know." That's blasphemy.
Yeah.
You know, in a way, that's denying God.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, you're denying God, and the label switch, but it's like, want to blaspheme man, flesh, not a problem.
Right.
That's not necessarily a good thing, but it's not salvational. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
which really is blaspheming God. Yeah.
It'd be kind of like when they denied that Peter and John were operating in the Lord when that the crippled there by the great the Gate Beautiful was, mm-hmm. You know, could have, you know,
yeah, they
did that by some crazy.
Hey, it's not by our power or mind, right. Right. Don't they say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was the answer after they said that? This is by the name, or was it?
What happens? I don't know. I think it moves on to another subject. There, you're talking about when Jesus.
No, well, no, I'm talking about when Peter. And they wanted to make them gods. And,
oh.
They used it, and they say it quite a few times, but they're.
Yeah. I think they were. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jerry.
Well, I just bang knew it. You know how that works. You know,
yeah, isn't it? You know, and all of a sudden you go, and then the Spirit goes.
Mark 3:11
illuminates.
I know.
Away when I was wanting the context for it, and the minute you said that, it went.
You know, you find that place from wherever Luke or wherever it is, and it all just flows. It makes It just, I never saw it before, but it just
6:18.
It just flows.
Yeah. Those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured.
Yeah.
And I missed it. You know, I
Luke 6:18.
I got on a bike ride and I ran into somebody and got waylaid and I was late coming back, so that's why I didn't come.
Okay.
And I was tired and hadn't eaten.
It was good.
I got the good part of it.
Just now. One of the top ten. I thought it was impacting as Charlie was kind of
trying
to say that.
It makes all kinds of sense by the Spirit.
Solidifies a lot of things in a different way.
And it happens all over the Gospels. They're perpetually denying that it's God, denying it's the Holy Spirit. And that's, the works of Jesus.
You know,
is that the one you're looking for, James?
No.
In First John, it's interesting because, you know, he talks a lot about truth.
Yes, he sure does.
And it's like, and when he's talking to his children or whoever he's writing, he implies they have the truth. Whatever that was that was needed. I mean, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. I have not written you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it and that no lie is but the truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's...
Well, and isn't that where the thing that Keith had printed off? You know, have picture praying, you know.
Sure.
My greatest pleasure is to know that my children, you know,
walk in the truth.
Right? Yeah, right.
Mark 3:22.
You know where he in the beginning here in chapter 2. First, he says, who a liar is who denies Jesus is the Christ.
And if by
and who denies the Father and the Son. So then they can go, well, we know Jesus is the Christ, and we know he's the Son of God. So we're not. But then he goes on to reaffirm it by saying flesh.
Yes.
So if you only went this far, you could still hold on to your Trinity, I guess.
They are so slick. So slick. You say, well, yes, of course he came in the flesh. He came as a man. However, he was also...
stuff that isn't there.
Yeah, right. He was fully man.
I can tell you
fully God.
How the Catholics did that to me. And, you know, he's a born of a woman, he's flesh. Just like everybody else. But it sort of takes a detour when he rises from the dead.
Right.
And while before he's doing that, he was showing other powers. So you're kind of like, okay. But, you know, flesh doesn't have this power. Flesh doesn't rise from the dead.
He walks through walls, which complicates the whole deal.
Only gods can rise from the dead because they're not really dead.
Yeah.
And, I've sat back and thought about this since. It really is kind of a thing. If you are not diligently seeking the Lord, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just don't keep digging, it's a very plausible answer. And you go, okay, I got to worry about other things like, you know, why do they sacrifice goats instead of ox? I mean, there are other things to be figuring out. You know, I didn't until... We kind of came to this revelation and came back.
Well, and then they got to make Mary, like, holy somehow and everything, too.
You know, Jesus did some funny things after he was resurrected. But, you know, so did Philip. If it had been Jesus that went off to wherever it was, we would say, proof that he's God.
Yeah.
And Philip, how about him? Is he God, too? You know?
Well, it is, you know, they kind of... That one setting where they're about to, they got him pinned in the synagogue or something, and they're about to stone him, and he basically just kind of walks through them like they can't see him. And he becomes invisible, just walks through their midst, and they go like, Right. Right. Kind of like what Philip happened. Philip was here, now he's not here. And then he showed up someplace else.
And who did that to Philip? Says he was, I don't know if it says transported, but he says by the Spirit he all of a sudden was here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So by the Spirit Jesus went through him, you know.
Yeah. And so that is not. It's certainly interesting that Jesus did that, but it does, it's no proof of divinity.
No.
It just means the Holy Spirit was in full operation.
No, it doesn't prove it, but it's a really reasonable explanation that the natural man. Grab onto
I guess, yeah.
And that's all I'm saying. It's like,
yeah, right.
It's just more convenient than trying to explain this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people will believe it.
I just heard some guy make a comment. I think he was a
pastor. Did I know, Keith? There's other scriptures.
Made the comment. God came and died on the cross. I mean, come on, that's the one that just totally blows my mind.
I'll tell you basically what the scripture says.
And it's. They probably think they are really praising him or something by calling him a god.
Where they can talk
again, and that's what prompted me to say, "Hey, you are not praising me if you tell me I'm a real good mechanic."
Against the Holy Spirit,
you know, all you're doing is demonstrating you don't know me.
And then, because
it's you personally,
he has an unclean spirit.
Right, I mean, how do you go wrong by calling Jesus a god?
Right.
You go wrong if he's not a god. You get it wrong, you know?
Yeah.
You know, on its face, it sounds, hey, God. Well, on its face, telling me I'm a great mechanic is sounds good, too. But
it's a lie.
But it's not, it's not true. So and you're not going to please him. You're not going to please him by calling him something he's not.
Right.
You know.
We got like two things going on.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, I know. That's right.
I noticed.
Poor folks.
Sorry,
Shelly.
Who do I listen to?
Keith is trying to find that setting about the unpardonable sin or blasphemy. And we were trying different ways to search for it, and we were not having any luck.
Let's see.
You guys were
It's in the Gospels, of course, but which one? Right?
Well, there are two things, two different veins of things I want to get into. But this one here, they accused Jesus of casting out devils by Beelzebub. And then at some point, and I don't know if that's the same setting, because we have a lot of settings like that. But at some point there, they said, he does this by the prince of the devils or something.
Right, Beelzebub.
And then he said,
Beelzebub.
You know.
Okay, Keith, the one about blasphemy against Israel will not be forgiven. I think that's Matthew 12:31.
Okay.
12:31.
12:31 is... And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven.
And what's the next line?
Oh, I can't tell you. From this, you'll have to look it up.
Yeah, those two verses. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against, that's the next verse, against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come.
Yeah. That's
the one following right after.
And he said that based on the fact that they said that he had an unclean spirit.
Right.
Are you familiar with that?
Right. The setting you're talking about is
what's right ahead of that.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
It's in verse 25, isn't it? Every kingdom divided against itself has brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against it. Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out?
But in verse 24, It says, now the Pharisees heard this. They said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub,
right,
the ruler of the demons. And then Jesus knew their thoughts, and he responded and said, well, that's not true.
So it's from 24 through at least 28.
Oh,
well, actually, it's all the way down through 32.
I'm in Mark. That didn't help.
Yeah.
He let him know that the city of the script was accusing him of casting out devils by the devil. Or, yeah,
right.
What I mean?
Right. And he rebuked them and put it all like, well, that doesn't make sense. That won't happen. So.
Oh, you know what, Charlie? He plainly says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God.
Okay. Spirit, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God has come upon you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny how these things can be pretty plain when they.
Yeah.
once a little light has been shown on it, it's like, I can't believe I never saw this.
Yeah, right. I mean, just laid out just very nice.
I mean, I've read that and kind of got that, but not like the way you presented it there.
And it, you know, that. When Jesus says it'd be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day than for these towns that saw his works and didn't acknowledge him or whatever. Well, that's kind of this. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You know, it's if they're denying what's clearly the work of God, you know, that's worse than whatever they did in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, yeah, because as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah was, it was natural in flesh, and it wasn't against God.
So, right.
And, right. I mean, you kind of look at that and you think, well, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? And you go, it's bad. You know, they were punished pretty hard.
Right.
And then he turns around and says, do you think that's bad?
Right.
Go blast, go reject the Holy Spirit. And you wish you were Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
And that's pretty powerful comment.
Mm-hmm. You know, my Bible has the heading, The Unpardonable Sin, when it talks about what they're doing here, denying that it was the Holy Spirit that did that casted out these demons, claiming it was Satan instead. And so, you know, to see the work of God in Jesus and say, no, that's not happening, or it's not, you know, that is the unpardonable sin.
To see the work of God and then call it the work of the devil.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that wasn't God, that's a devil.
Yeah.
I mean, totally the other way.
Yeah. And I guess in a sense it is, until you repent of it. I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
this is kind of interesting, 36, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Hmm.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, watch out what comes out of your mouth, brother.
Which kind of gives credence to the when it says I think it's John says, or maybe it's not John, but it's great to be a teacher, but you're going to be held much more accountable.
Yes, that's right.
You know.
Yes. Is it John or is it one of the?
Or maybe it's not John.
Maybe.
Somewhere that it's.
Oh, maybe it is John. Right.
Might be said more than once too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would be good to know what the other parallel scriptures were on the blaspheming the Holy Spirit. The unpardonable sin. The thing that we've designated as being the unpardonable sin.
Well, the blasphemy uses a couple. I don't.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Matthew 26:65, when the high priest tore his clothes and said he has spoken blasphemy, why do we need any more witnesses?
Yeah, that's at the trial.
Yeah.
And then, right, and then John 10:33, we're not stoning you for any good works, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God.
Yeah.
So you wanted to know what other translations said, right? Or other Bibles?
Or other places in the Bible.
Oh,
or,
other places.
You know, where...
Okay.
I suppose look up unpardonable sin and they'll give you, but I don't have to do that. That's when you need the Thompson Chain Bible, Keith.
Yeah, I used it for years.
Yeah.
I'm sure you. This is. I'm sure you've noticed that little nice pair of turtle doves that's been hanging around in your trees and stuff.
Yeah.
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 I picked them up on them early this spring. Right there.
And then there's been a third one, a lone one.
Oh.
I don't know if we'd seen this pair,
sure.
And then we saw one.
Oh.
And thought, lost its mate, you know.
My
and but yeah, there's been another pair.
I like that.
Yeah, I know. It's
would you find me the youngest? I
see one reference here that says unpardonable sin is described in Mark 3,
Mark 3.
As well as Mark 12.
Matthew 12 and Mark 3.
Oh no, I miss it.
You see the
Mark 3, Matthew 12.
Okay.
Yeah, we must make another rendition of it, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, maybe it's the same.
It's sort of, yeah, 21.
They're telling him.
Right, 22, Mark 3:22 says that as Pharisees, he hath the. Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils cast out head of devils. And then Christ corrects him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing. I tell you, all sins will be forgiven, sons of men, in whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit.
That's what I want right there. That's what I've been looking for.
Okay. Well, it's Mark 3 and Mark 3:29, 29 and 30.
Okay. So that tells us something.
Yeah.
Mark 3:29.
Uh-huh.
Is that the New Testament?
Luke 12:10. Parallel. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven.
Hmm. Same, all three of those synoptic, 12:10, did you say?
Yes, 12:10.
Okay.
Luke 12:10.
Okay, where were you at?
Mark 3:29 and 30.
Sorry, we've discussed it all. We're on another subject now.
I'm sorry.
Luke 12:10.
Okay, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Well, that's just the same comment about you can say what you want about Jesus. That's, well, it might not be good. It's not. It's pardonable. But don't do that about God. And what's interesting, like I said, I think it's really important to think of that is don't think of the Holy Spirit and someone else. Don't speak ill of God.
Well, in this case, what he's saying is they were saying that he's what he's doing is not by God.
Uh-huh. Right, right. They were saying who's given the power, and Jesus.
So the devil. They said that's the unpardonable,
yeah.
Unforgivable sin.
Yeah.
Because they said he had an unclean spirit. Now, are you ready?
Now that we've laid the foundation.
Some woman washed Jesus' feet with tears and dried his feet with the hair of her head. Who was it?
Was it Mary?
What Mary? Which one?
Well, it's funny because I think it was the sister of Martha.
Yeah, it was.
But maybe there's another one where it was maybe Mary Magdalene. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. There were two that did it, but she did. And when I said it, she was the one. And it says that this Mary was the one who
yeah, was, right.
You know.
Yeah.
I never do that. I just heard it.
When she's doing it, it doesn't have a name. That doesn't give her a name.
No, but later on it says this.
Yeah, where does it say
that's in
later
John.
On?
It's John. Gospel John. Talks about, this is the Mary that washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. Yeah.
Where is that?
It's the 11th chapter of John. Or
11 or something.
Chapter of John.
Oh, yeah. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her. Well, now, wait a minute.
A little different.
Fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother. That's not with tears, though.
Yeah.
It was one of them that did it with her tears. Right?
Yeah, that's right. She burst into... When Jesus was eating with a Pharisee or something, and the Pharisee was thinking in his head, if he knew what manner of woman this was, he wouldn't be letting her do that.
Because it would have been Mary, though, then that had the real expensive that...
Right, he broke, yeah.
And
Judas was unhappy.
Judas was unhappy.
We could have given them
a whole lot of money. So I think it happened two different times.
Yeah.
Because the other one, it doesn't have a name that... The one with their tears.
It's a subject of discussion on the World Wide Web. It takes on, was it Martha's sister Mary, or Mary Magdalene who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair? It takes some detective work to parse out the information about the various Marys mentioned in the Gospel. The episode you mentioned is particularly confusing because there are four different accounts with varied details in each of the four Gospels. Mark and Matthew both mention an unnamed woman who anoints Jesus' head with either nard or ointment. Luke tells us of an unnamed woman who was a sinner who bathed Jesus' feet with her tears, anointed them with ointment, and dried them with her hair. And to add even more confusion, John describes Mary of Bethany, a.k.a. Martha's sister, among anointing his feet with nard and wiping them with her hair. Only in John's Gospel is a woman named as Mary of Bethany. It goes on to say, that said, none of the accounts suggest any involvement by Mary Magdalene. If indeed there was a historical event of a woman anointing Jesus with a particular extravagant way, we will simply never know who it was that enacted such a loving gesture for Jesus, according to this person.
Uh-huh.
But he looked like he spent some time on it and got right on it.
Right.
You know why you can't figure this out? Because there's four different stories in the story.
They're a little...
And when you can't get at least two of the Gospels to line up, you got to go, you know? Probably not an important detail.
Or the variation's important. I don't know.
Whatever. Well, the act is important.
The act is important. That's right.
That's
the identity of the... Right.
And wouldn't it be true to form?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who did it. What matters is what was done.
Yeah.
Don't glorify the person.
Right.
Don't try and say, ooh, that Mary so-and-so was really special. What was special is what she recognized in.
But you know, Jesus says a funny thing. One of them broke open this alabaster box that had this ointment, you know. And I don't know if that was the thing that bothered Judas or not. I forget.
It bothered him.
Yeah, yeah. Because
it was expensive, boy.
Right, yeah. It could have fed a lot of poor people. Yeah, but then he had his own.
He was trying to, we could be really doing good stuff with the money that we just lost, or like feeding the poor or whatever.
Yeah. And leaving something, and I get a share of it in my pocket.
Yeah. Grace kind of goes, that's not really important. Because important is people will know that she did this.
And Jesus says, he said, forever or long, long time, people are going to remember this as she was anointing me for my burial. You know, wherever this gospel is preached, what this woman hath done
will be remembered.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those like profound statements, like none greater than him has been born by woman, when he talks about John the Baptist. And you go, okay. I would have thought Moses or David might have been number one, you know? What's this guy who eats honeycomb and run around in the wild for a while? What do you mean he's the greatest? You know, yet it's really clear. It's not one of those in a parable.
That's right.
Hidden behind another parable. It's like, I'm telling you.
And I suppose, what greater ministry than to light up the coming of Christ?
Well, exactly. I mean,
prepare the way, you know. Whatever.
Really, it's like, what did you do? Well, I baptized Christ and the Holy Spirit fell upon him and the ministry started and he saved everybody by the shedding of his son. Yeah, that was probably the most important thing that happened.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And yet, he is at least. In the kingdom of God is greater than God.
Isn't that strange?
He really goes out of his way to totally destroy what we think is the way things work in the natural.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I suppose, you know, once the thing has come, whoever it was that sent the message ahead of time saying he's coming, at that point it becomes a little unimportant.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? You know, Paul Revere came through and said the British are coming. Well, the big deal is when the British came.
Your work here is done. Right. Yeah. And what did you do after that? Well, I went down to the stable, cooled off the horse. He was least as the grace. You know, don't sit at the head of the table. You'll be made to look foolish later.
Mm-hmm.
Come as little children. I love the parable about the man working in the field and the guys who showed up 50 minutes before closing time get the same wage as the guy who's been toiling all day long. And
I love that story,
too. There's no way in the natural you go, that is not fair. And his answer is, you agreed to it.
Yeah, right.
Well, I didn't know you were going to, you know, chip me the way you did at the end. But the other guy.
You didn't ruin their problem.
No.
Well, I have thought, hey, you want to take care of this problem? Pay off the ones that have been there all day. Let them go home and then wait until they're... That's you know, anyone with any kind of sense of labor peace would do it that way.
Yeah. Well, nobody. He did it the other way on purpose.
Oh, he did do that? Yeah, he specifically instructed him.
Yeah, so pay the first one, last one's here, first one's paid. They get the same. And then, so you're watching all this go on and you're the first guy there showing initiative. Here you go. You're the same as the guy who was here for 5 minutes.
What?
And go, and in the natural, you've got a right to complain. And he's like, you know.
In the natural, you got a right to complain, but in the natural, the guy has every right to do with his money what he wants.
That's right.
Which he
agreed.
But you could never have, that couldn't happen today. They jail the owner for doing that. You know, it's his money, but you don't know. You can't do it like that.
No, but my point is, there are so many settings that just say, you would think it would be, B comes after A, and Jesus goes, no. Yeah. A comes after B, and you go, because my plan is perfect. You go, okay, I need more. I need to dwell on His word day and night longer before this becomes obvious.
I have thought that grace is not fair. You know, by definition, it's not fair. You know, it's unmerited favor. Meaning, you know, unless everybody gets grace extended to them, and it doesn't work that way.
No, and clearly the amount of grace extended is not the same.
No, but it's just, and I think we just have to look beyond fairness. You know, there's all sorts of cases in the New Testament where it isn't fair, and people object, and you know.
I like to characterize it a little bit differently. We have to look past figuring out why this is this way, and just trust God. It's perfect the way He's doing it.
Right.
It's like, are you check out the brain? My brain's over here. What do you want me to do? And there you go.
Right.
Yep. Otherwise, you get confounded.
Which is exactly what you promised. Well, and I've griped to God. Hey, this isn't fair. And I don't get a whole lot of sympathy back.
You're correct to God, huh?
Uh-huh.
You know, once we get there,
I have to.
It'll all make sense.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's
sure.
right.
You're
the fact that we don't think it's right is not God's feeling.
No.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I tell myself.
Well, it's partly because He's not going to reveal every aspect to us.
No, right.
You know,
yeah, it's
of
yeah.
what He's
yeah. We just have to learn to try to be happy, or at least not gripe too much about what's not real fair.
Accepting of His plan.
That's right. Right.
That's like.
Yeah.
Well, and that parable about that working in the field, isn't that to go along with the one that says, and the least shall be first, and the first
yeah,
shall be last?
Yeah, I think it comes right after that.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
You know, so people coming in might get more revelation than you've gotten in 40 years. In 40 days,
mm-hmm.
and we better be glorifying God for it.
That's right.
You know?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's why every now and then one of us says, someone is going to come in really late to the game,
right.
and they're going to be teaching us things. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Wow. You know, I've been digging around here for 20 years, wrote through these letters, and you came up with them like in a week. And
right.
then you go, well, it's amazing what can happen with God's
Spirit. I have thought, you know, if the prodigal son had two brothers, I've imagined myself to be the third brother and would hope that I would throw in my calf, too, to make the feast that much bigger.
Yeah.
Rather than
right.
behave. You know, I would hope that's my aspiration. To be willing to.
Well,
that's a great parable.
Yeah.
I mean, the answer is like, he says, you know, he's basically saying, it's really great that you've been praying and helping people and tithing and witnessing and mission fields and basically out there slugging it up day after day after day because you know what you're supposed to do. Some guy who's just been on vacation for like 15 years shows up and he says, you know what? We're going to throw you the best feast possible. Well, what about all the... that was really good. But your soul is never in jeopardy. This one, we might be saving one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so maybe right about now. You better straighten up here.
I don't know that he actually did either. He doesn't.
No, we don't know what happened.
It doesn't really show him repenting at that at that point.
No, we don't know. But that's another instance. You know, that's unfair. It was unfair. The older brother had a pretty good gripe.
Yeah.
You know, after the natural.
That's the church. God wants us to be full of love and forgiveness no matter what. No matter what somebody does to us or, you know, whatever they say about you. It doesn't matter.
I read, I don't know if any of you saw, I saw this little book came through on my, you know, I get these little things like Fox News or whatever. And lead Christian singer says he no longer believes in God. So I read about a little, grew up in a Christian home, and, you know, and had been for, and I thought, you know, that really doesn't surprise me. Because, I mean, I feel bad for the guy. And then a lot of people are saying, oh, we still love you, or whatever. Well, I guess that's fine, too. But, the, you know, but it was, it's because most of, a lot of them, they have no foundation. You know,
would you?
And so I could see it getting old after a while if you don't really have the Spirit of God in you. And you know,
yeah.
Probably never was filled with the Spirit, probably never spoke in tongues. So, you know.
And probably doesn't have too many needs in this world. I mean, if he's singing and he's cutting albums and, you know, walking around.
I mean, he was real honest about it. I mean, and he wasn't vindictive. He just said, I just... says I'm hoping there's probably a God out there, but I just don't believe in him anymore.
Mm. And he probably got a little tired of the hypocrisy.
Yeah,
singing,
he said he'd been toying with it for a long time to want to just come out and admit that he just wasn't, you know.
Yeah, right. Now, it's, when it put shame on... Well, maybe the church is a good thing to have shame put on it. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know. But,
but I mean, a lot of them, that's, yeah, well, yeah, I grew up and, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, so let's get a grip together and perform.
Oh, you know, it's real easy to get your priorities badly mixed up.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it's your livelihood.
You know about Maria Carey, right? Maria Carey?
Yeah, I know her.
She started out as a Christian singer.
Well,
and became popular, and then...
Quite a few of them have done that.
Aretha Franklin grew up in church.
And then, but she made non-good choices and went from Christian music to popular music.
Well, Whitney Houston. She was
married.
She grew up
there, yeah.
And then met this guy, and he totally, I mean, she just, you know, let him totally mislead her, and she ended up in drugs, and she actually overdosed. Really sad. I mean, beautiful voice, and was a pretty staunch Christian at first. In the ways of the world, you know.
Yeah, and surely they get particular attention from the devil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those things are, they are unfortunate, but, you know,
it
has zero impact on any view I have of any,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, often said, it gets pretty easy to stop feeling like you need God when, you know, you're not struggling too much on this earth.
And have a nice income.
I really think that's partly why the thorn and Paul's side are named. Just as a reminder.
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
Yeah. Beware lest you fall. Lest you think you stand, lest you fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think that has any type of a person in mind. Anybody can backslide.
Right.
Well, and that's what I was thinking when you talked about this guy, and you go, you don't love anybody less because they backslide. Or, you don't care for them less even if, you know, they kind of glommed onto a bad, they interpret the word in a bad way. You just kind of go, like, you know.
I think God prefers him confessing. They're going through the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
You know? Hey.
If you don't know and you're unsure.
He's in a whole lot better place with God now than he would have been
if he
before.
Just gone along.
All right. Or was before. Yeah.
So you don't mean he can't all of a sudden find the real truth, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And some of his backslid is not lost. They're just...
Right.
Right.
And the guy had before, he can get him again. And, you know, it reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. He came out and said kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Kind of almost exactly the same thing. Didn't really just said, I don't know about a God. I believe there's a higher power, but... You know, and then kind of said, I don't know why all-loving God would allow all this to happen, which is the very common, and I haven't really dug into the word too hard,
yeah.
response to what's going on in the world.
That one I have a little less sympathy for. Keep your mouth shut, Aaron Rodgers. You know.
Well.
I mean, no one's asking you to have, you know, elevated theological. Just throw the ball. Shut up and throw the ball.
Well, I think he got asked about it somewhere else. So
I suppose he did.
Sort of similar to...
Yeah.
Although, the person who asked him is now his girlfriend, so I mean...
Right,
I
right.
That was
You're
right.
So, but, you know.
Yeah, But he did grow up in a, like a... Assembly of God or something, you know. It was they had youth ministries that were with a lot of vitality, and it was a big part of his life. And he,
well, who was that?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it was a, you know, it was a standard successful church where it,
you know, the parable of the brothers that were off and did his own thing. And the older brother was upset when he came back. That shows, you see, if that was his brother, he should have loved him.
Yeah, he should have.
And if there are brothers out here, we should love them.
Yeah.
And so we should be happy if they repented and if they come to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, we should be trying to get them to do that. That's what Christianity is.
Yeah.
And
open love is the greatest of these.
So if you mm-hmm. want, if you want people to be saved, you kind of go after them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had something happen yesterday. I don't know. This Kurt likes birthday, but yesterday I was sitting here. And he came in, and he had an older guy with him. It was his dad. His name was, Russ, I think.
Maybe his stepfather or something?
No, his real dad.
Oh.
The name should have been changed to protect the innocent.
I see, no.
And, but anyway, Kurt wanted me to pray with his dad. I don't know. I misheard him. So I didn't pray. It was the right thing. But anyway, I thought the guy's open.
Hmm.
You know, he's wide open, and kind of reminded me a lot of my dad.
Hmm.
Smaller than Kurt. Kurt is 6'3", so. It's not hard to be smaller.
I just see that as such a fine, fine thing to bring his dad around here.
Yeah. Well,
find on the part of the dad, too.
He wanted me to pray for him.
Yeah.
He took a bunch of that wood. And that's what Kurt has been doing out there. It's cutting the wood where he wants to cut it up. And his dad burned wood and... And I tell him, I warn him, I said, lots of luck burning this stuff.
I know. I'm surprised they want to burn Jack fine.
Well, once you get it dry, but then you might go burn cardboard. It burns fast, you know, when it's dry, but it don't last very long. However, if you've got an outside fireplace or outside technical thing.
Those bio...
Yeah, so that the chimney is not going to get full of creosote. It works pretty good.
Mm.
Clayton's son, Dale, he is a deal to see. And his son has a little cement building outside of his house. And he pumps the heat from the whatever it was, so he is in the building.
Heard of those systems. You can throw about anything in there.
Yeah. And then it doesn't build up with creosote.
Yeah. So
So I didn't know that we settled anything, but we talked about
it was good.
Yeah, I think we figured out
there's a lot of
who not to blaspheme and who's doing the work.
Well, I find it funny that I find it real interesting that there are three in each of the three synoptic gospels.
Actually, they even reference John. I mean, John had a reference not using quite that, but they said, what was it? There was even a reference to John.
Now, in Luke, it was the parallel as the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain, you know, that it comes up in. But it's...
Shelley, that's all we had tonight.
Well, we might be coming out of
I stand corrected. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They mentioned 1 John 1:9. That was not exactly the same context. So in my previous scanning, I noticed John, but I was attaching a wrong meaning to it.
So anybody that's been a part of our church, we should want them saved. If they were our brothers, they still are our brothers and our sisters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes.
Well, amen to that, but basically, I don't know that we want to be so exclusive. Any brother or sister, whether they were part of our church or not, that is our for God we want to save.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't mean to imply that you were implying anything different. It just.
Yeah.
No, I only want certain ones.
Well, it's hard to come up with a parallel situation to the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, to the prodigal son. Outside of it, like a family thing,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
The jerk goes and does all that stuff, and then he gets they don't give him a kid.
Party.
They give him a
reward party. Hey, thanks for screwing my brother.
Right.
But he did what a lot of people should do.
Oh yeah, yes, yeah. But you know, especially in a family context, someone gets favored treatment when they acted worse than you did. Ay, ay, ay. You know?
I think that's exactly why it's in there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty prevalent in a lot of families.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
What that is the father's heart.
Right.
Loves all his kids.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. God loves the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the father didn't really care about the fact that his other son had been toiling away in the fields and doing all his labor. He was happy with the knowledge that he was going to be where he needed to be at the end of the day. But his heart ached for the one that was lost.
That's right.
When he saw the one that wasn't lost,
he was
overjoyed.
Very intense rejoicing.
Yeah. And the one goes, well, doesn't seem to be a whole lot of benefit for toiling away in the field there, Dad. You know, why don't we both go out and party? Again, it's just the way the scriptures are so good to point out. It just doesn't feel right in the flesh. And God goes, yep, that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm. The scriptures reveal the nature of God. That's why it says, by these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of God's divine nature.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so we get that thought pattern in our systems. And instead of acting like the older son that was, they really didn't care that much about his brother, you don't act that way. That's the divine nature of God. The nature of God loves everybody.
You know, interestingly too, especially in those days, the first son was always treated better.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, he thought he was entitled to.
He was the heir,
right?
Yeah, I mean, the firstborn was always had a little more prestige than any that followed. You know,
that's right. Yeah, so that was doubly hard to take.